From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1966 when a woman in Penfield decided to speak up against plans to dredge up wetlands in favor of some kind of new development. And her name was Irene Gossin. She was a mom and a housewife. And when she learned of a proposal with the Irondequoit wetlands between Browncroft and Empire Boulevards, she went out to a meeting. Years later, 1993, she would tell WXXI that she was shaking as she spoke out against wiping out those wetlands. But she wasn't done with that meeting. She studied parks law. She studied soil conservation and drainage. She also studied the media and the American political system to get to know it better. No woman had ever been elected to executive political office in Monroe County. In 1971, Irene Gossin changed that. She was elected supervisor of the town of Penfield, shattering a glass ceiling. She would go on to serve 5 terms. Gossin worked for many years on preserving the Irondequoit Valley, the wetlands and the bay, the creek and the bluffs. The Democrat and Chronicle wrote that years before Earth Day came into existence and before the environmental movement was more widespread, Irene Gossin helped protect open spaces locally. And for her efforts, she received, occasionally, some hate mail, even death threats, but she pressed on. And now, 50 years after Irene Gossin saw a planned development that she thought wasn't right, another woman in Penfield is following that path. Mindy McLaren has watched a number of subdivisions pop up along former fields and farmland off Five Mile Line Road. And then 18 acres became available. They could easily have become another cookie-cutter subdivision. But McLaren decided to buy the land, and after she met Irene Gossin, she decided to name the park and nature preserve for her. This hour, a conversation about environmental activism and development, and the story of a woman whose name should not be forgotten. Let me go ahead and welcome my guest. Mindy McLaren's here, the founder of the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve. That sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. Thank
you. It's a great ring to it.
Yep.
Gay Mills is here, the executive director of the Genesee Land Trust. Gay, welcome to you.
Hello.
And Kate McArdle's here, the current leader of the Penfield Democratic Committee. Kate, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And just a little on the full disclosure side, occasionally you might have heard Mindy's voice or name on WXXI. Her family's been very supportive of WXXI. It's not why she's here. We appreciate that support, but the story this hour is what Mindy's doing and also who Irene Gossin is. And so I kind of want to start there, Mindy. This piece of land that we're talking about that has her name now, this 18 acres, it's across from Rothfuss Park.
Right.
Listeners might know, but if they don't, just kind of generally describe the area.
It's north of Atlantic Ave on Five Mile Line Road. It is directly across from Rothfuss Park. It's an open field, notable because it's undeveloped. And soon it will be the home to the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve.
I was out there on a recent Saturday morning. My wife and son and I came out with a group of volunteers helping clean it up, just sort of picking up garbage and walking around, occasionally falling in a creek, as my son did. Playfully, it was fine. But, you know, it is notable, as you said, Mindy, because when you're driving along there are all kinds of sort of subdivisions there.
Right.
It reminds me of the town I grew up in outside Cleveland that when I was a lad in the early 1980s, it was like 3 streets and nothing. And now it's just all subdivisions, which a lot of people like and some people don't. But for you, what was your concern with what happened with that property? Take me through what you sort of saw happening in that area.
I knew that to the south of us was going to be 88 houses going in. And one of the things that I really loved about going past the land that I purchased was that it was not developed. So when I saw the for sale sign go up on it, and I knew that the other piece was going to be developed, I just thought, you know what, it would be a shame to have more development and be sandwiched in. So I did what I could to make sure that wouldn't happen.
But you got Rothfuss across the street. So
right.
So why not? Why not another subdivision if that's what developers wanted, if that's what seemed to fit there?
This has been something that I've always had a passion for and a concern about, even when I was like preteen. I complained about all the farms disappearing for subdivisions. I think that, you know, once the land is gone and developed, it's gone. And I think that it would have been a real shame for that to happen.
When did you first really get to understand who Irene Gossin was?
Not until after I purchased the land.
And I'm a little surprised at that. I mean, you're very politically minded.
I know.
Which probably is just a sign that we too easily forget people who have kind of laid the groundwork. So take me through how you learned about her.
Well, after my offer on the land was accepted, which it was one of five offers put on the property, and mine was the only non-developer offer, and that's why it was accepted. I posted about it on Facebook, and Kate said, she sent me a message and said, you have to meet Irene Gossin. And I said, well, who is that? And she said, she's part of the reason that we have green space, and she's the former supervisor of Penfield, and I think she would really, you know, be over the moon about what you're doing with this property. So we set the date to meet her, and we went, and I almost didn't go, actually. But it really was, it was a fascinating meeting, like once in a lifetime kind of a experience.
Kate, were you surprised that Mindy didn't know who Irene was?
I wasn't surprised, actually, because I had, as my entire career has been around environmentalism and activism, and I'd moved to Penfield in 2007, and I had just heard of who Irene Gossin was in 2000 and around 2012, 2013, during a race, a political race, when local Democrats actually went petitioning at Irene Gossin's house. So that's how I learned about her. So it wasn't shocking to me that she didn't know, because so many people in Penfield don't know who she is. But I was excited that Mindy wanted to take the opportunity to go and get to know her.
Well, also taking the opportunity to go and get to know her was our producer, Megan Mack. Megan had a chance to go out. Mindy was there, and Megan met Irene Gossin and had a chance to talk with her briefly. So I'm bringing in Megan into the conversation now. First of all, Meg, what did you make of your meeting with Irene?
What an incredible woman. Mindy told me beforehand how remarkable she was. And it wasn't until I got there and sat down with her in her beautiful home and had a conversation that I realized what a gem she is to this community. She's just a remarkable woman.
And you had a chance to talk to her. We're going to hear a couple of different comments from Irene Gossin. And again, she's 97 years old, these comments on a range of subjects that Megan had a chance to talk to her about. Let's start with her thoughts on the new park. Megan, kind of set this up for us.
Sure. She kept using the word amazing. It's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing thing that's happened to me. She's called herself the lucky one. We'll hear a little bit about that later. She also said it's a commitment to a way of thinking and that the park will be used in very comforting ways. So she's very, very happy and pleased with how things are going.
It's going to be a really amazing, wonderful change that will be a part of the transition to a controlled area where people can enjoy and relax and get back to environmental reasons as to why we're all here in the first place. It's a very, very wonderful undertaking now.
That's Irene Gossin talking to Megan about her thoughts on this new park. We call it a park. It's the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve. Megan also had a chance to kind of talk to her about her own history. So you go from 2016, go back to 1966 when she was doing this at a time where this was much more unusual. And you had a chance to kind of talk to her about when she was fighting so hard to protect Irondequoit wetlands. Tell us a little bit about that, Megan.
Yes, she walked me through the timeline. It took about 7 months to have everything protected after all of their efforts. She and the neighborhood association worked together, and she said there was a lot of pushback. So she and her neighbors, they fought the good fight, as she said. And here's a little bit from Irene about why some people were against the land being protected.
Some people were against it, naturally, especially if they had some interest that was going to be disturbed. Other people, after a long push to have them understand, became quite eager and were very, very helpful. And of course, that led to my election as supervisor, because that was the one thing that we stood out and had people applauding us. And I might add, applauding the fact that a woman was making some progress too.
I noted in the 1993 WXXI interview, Megan, that Irene Gossin mentioned that in 1969 she ran and lost. In 1971 she ran and won big. And I, you know, it was so interesting to see that 5-year period from 1966 to 1971, where she goes from someone who just identified, as she said, as a housewife who was not really all that sort of well known, to the first woman elected as a supervisor, not in, just in Penfield, in Monroe County. And before we get to some of her closing thoughts, Megan, I know you had a chance to kind of talk to her about women in politics in general, and what were some of her thoughts there?
I'm glad that she wasn't afraid to say she was proud to pave the way for other women. We talked a little bit about that. We talked about her being the first woman elected to some of these positions. And she said the funny thing is that she and her team never ran with the hope or the thought that they were going to be the first. It just came naturally. And she was very proud of that. And I also asked her if she thinks that women are treated differently in politics today. She said in her case, she didn't feel like she was treated differently. It wasn't her experience. But she said she was proud that people took her into the fold. And she also said if a woman is in office like that and does a good job, it's helping womanhood. So I'm glad, again, I'm glad to say that she was proud to note that she helped set the path for a lot of women in this community.
And Megan had a chance to ask Irene Gossin about Mindy McLaren purchasing and protecting that land and how she feels about that. And some touching moments here. So, Megan, why don't you set this up for us, this last comment here.
This was interesting because we had finished our entire conversation and Mindy was sitting right close by us. And Irene mentioned many, many times how glad she was to know Mindy and how happy she was with the land. And I said, is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you'd like to add? And this is what she said.
We live in a beautiful country with a lot of beauty in it, and let's utilize it. And the way you utilize it is just to support it, feel it strongly in your life, and help to cultivate the atmosphere that people would like to live in. I'm just very surprised and pleased at the attention this is being given, and not for my sake, but for all the reasons that I said before. Good many people would never have the chance to enjoy those times if there weren't people out there fighting to keep them that way. Keep them natural. You don't have to build everything on top of everything. And live a little more natural life. It's a beautiful life. I'm the one that's the lucky one.
I'm the one that's the lucky one, she closed with. And I see Megan smiling. So, Megan, I think it's important to point out here as well, you've had such warm things to say about Irene Gossin. But Irene Gossin was someone who was very highly respected, is now. Look, I mean, but I'm saying 1971, mid-1970s, she gets elected. She had Republican supporters. She had friends on all sides. And my guess is even in one meeting, it's easy to see why, don't you think?
Absolutely. You can't help but love Irene.
Well, thank you, Megan Mack, producer, for bringing us those moments with Irene Gossin. Again, the first woman elected to an executive office in the history of Monroe County. She's now 97, and the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve is going to be along Five Mile Line Road, and that's thanks to Mindy McLaren. So, Mindy, first of all, let me just ask you, what did you think when you heard some of those comments there?
Well, I can't help but smile because I'd love to listen to what she has to say. And I agree with her. I mean, we don't need to build on top of everything. And
I love that limbo. You don't have to build everything on top of everything.
Everything on top of
just
everything.
Just for the sake of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's pretty much says it all. I mean, that's, you know, we only have land until it's, you know, and then when we develop on it, it's gone. So if you can, I feel like if you can do something to save it, then you should.
Kate McArdle, what did you make of some of the many thoughts you heard? You can weigh in wherever you like on that.
Yeah, so it's just, again, from the first time that I met her, it's an inspiration as a political figure, but as a member of our Penfield community, to just remember the work and the passion that she had and try to be just as inspired and inspiring to others. So when I hear her talk, it just re-inspires us as community members and as activists to make sure that we do what she did, which is to make sure that that land stays as land and that we can have smart development. And so for me personally, it just re-inspires me and also scares me a little bit, to be honest, because those are large, large shoes to fill. She's an incredible woman, and Irene was lucky to have the number of folks that came to her side, and that's really what this is all about, is trying to engage more people in the community. And luckily with this preserve, we hope to show people that this can be done and that they can get involved as well.
Kate, I have to say, you know, I had a chance to read the entire transcript of the interview because, you know, Megan selected a few of these comments, but age impacts people in different ways. She's 97. When you read the transcript, she is as sharp and sort of wonderfully wise about so many different things. Her message, and again, there are parts of the transcript that we did not get to play for you just now, but her message is not that green space everywhere, never develop anything. Mm-hmm. It's a really judicious look mm-hmm. at, do you need it?
Right.
You know, are we getting to a point where we're not mm-hmm. appreciating the natural mm-hmm. world like maybe
right.
we should?
Right.
Do we have to build everything on top of everything just for the sake of it? I just thought that was so wise because, mm-hmm. you know, to be the environmentalist that she was 50 mm-hmm. years ago when that was much less common definitely had to be a risk, don't you think?
Certainly. And she had, you know, she references every time I see her, and a lot of times in that transcript, I'm sure, there were death threats. She had folks that weren't so happy about what she was doing in our community. And with anyone that is a leader, you know, not everyone's going to line up behind you and support you. And so she did take risks. And there is a component of fear with that kind of leadership. But she braved through all of that and was so successful with so many of the conservation areas in Penfield. And we have a lot of thanks. A lot of what we've done in Penfield is a result of her.
It reminds me, I would put her in the category of Frederick Law Olmsted in the way that there are people who have done things regarding our own environment and natural spaces that were so forward-thinking that it was hard for some people around them to maybe understand it at the time, but within a generation or two later, it becomes so obvious mm-hmm. that it was the right idea. Olmsted's ideas on parks, if you missed a recent program, the architect, the designer of Central Park, and then Buffalo called, and they said, we want our own Central Park, and he went to Buffalo, and he said, you don't need a Central Park. You need really three, and we need a park ways to connect them. Mm-hmm. He comes to Rochester. He's helping design space, and some people were saying, this is too big. Why do we need this? Well, you know, 100 plus years later, all of a sudden people are around going, thank goodness for that. And mm-hmm. Irene Gosson at the time, you know, you go back 50 years, those subdivisions didn't exist then the way mm-hmm. they do now. She mm-hmm. had a vision that that's mm-hmm. what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that, not that subdivisions are evil, but if you don't carve out any natural spaces, what are you left with?
Right.
I just find that so amazing. And let me mm-hmm. ask Gay Mills about that, mm-hmm. because with the Genesee Land Trust, you know, does that make sense? Does that mm-hmm. comparison make sense to you?
Oh, definitely. When we think about the sort of the shoulders that we're standing on of the national parks, the county parks, all those different layers that have come before us, we're sort of the next or a next opportunity to protect land.
When you heard her comments about the natural spaces, mm-hmm. some of the comments from that interview, what did you think, Gay? What occurred to you?
Well, it feels very familiar. the Genesee Land Trust was formed by a group of people who were concerned about always fighting development and feeling like it would be great to have an organization that would be able to offer an alternative for some lands, not all, but for some that seem like they make a good fit for being available to the public. And so that's what we've been trying to do, and everything she said really resonates.
Well, what I want to do is I want to spend our second half hour talking about a little bit more broadly about what the Genesee Land Trust does, the future of this particular space here, the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve, what happens next with it. So there's a lot to sort of work through there. If you want to check it out, by the way, it has a Facebook page.
It does.
And it's going to have, does it have a website as well, Mindy?
Not yet. No.
Okay. you're looking at me like, thanks a lot for that. No, I know there's a lot that is just sort of developing, but there is an Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve Facebook page there.
Right.
So let's get a short break. We'll come back and talk about the future of that space, what is and is not coming there. And then we'll talk about what the Genesee Land Trust does and natural spaces. If you want to call the program and weigh in, I got a beautiful email about Irene Gossin, which I can get to as well. But if you want to weigh in as well, you can do that. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. The conversation continues next. Coming up in our second hour, we welcome David Makovsky to the program. He's coming to Rochester tomorrow night as a guest of the Jewish Federation of Greater Rochester. He was a senior advisor to Secretary of State John Kerry in 2013 and 2014 during the Israel-Palestine peace process. Makovsky will talk to us about why peace in the Middle East is so difficult to achieve. That's next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, here with Mindy McLaren, the founder of the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve in Penfield. Kate McCardle is the current leader of the Penfield Democratic Committee, and Gay Mills, the executive director of the Genesee Land Trust. And the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve is 18 acres of land that we've been talking about there that will not be developed in the way that you see so many recent subdivisions. And that's not to sort of tarnish, you know, housing developments. It's just a fact that set of land is not going to look like so much of the land around it. And here's a note from a listener named Karen, who is really enjoying this conversation. And she says, hello, Evan. I grew up in Penfield, and as a kid, I have vivid memories of my dad campaigning for Irene Gossin for our town supervisor. My dad, then and now, describes Irene Gossin as the smartest and nicest person he knew. As a kid in the 70s, my dad's political work in our town with Mrs. Gossin was a backdrop for me. I remember my dad talking about her and going to town board meetings. As a young girl of 8 to 10, I was aware of Mrs. Gossin as our town supervisor. It left an impression on me, and I grew up thinking it was quite normal for a woman to be in charge. I now understand just how extraordinary it was. It laid a foundation for me that women can do anything. And I called my dad this morning to tell him that Irene would be on 1370 today. And again, he told me she was a fighter, she was tough and so very smart, and that all while being a very nice person. That's from Karen. Big smile on Mindy's face. Isn't that great?
Oh, it's beautiful. And beautiful.
Probably not a surprise to you, Kate.
Not at all.
So thank you for the note there. And I guess another reminder that you can be a political fighter and you can do really hard things and still be known as a nice person.
You can still be likable. Shocking.
I didn't know that was that's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is definitely news we've broken in this program.
Well, she's the ultimate lady. She is a lady with bulldog courage. Mm-hmm. That's what I think she would describe herself as.
Does that come through, Mindy, does that come through in conversations you've had from people who've known her? Does that come through in conversations with her?
The bulldog courage is a quote directly from her. She would love for people to have more bulldog courage. I think just from talking to her, I mean, I know she said when they had death threats, her husband wanted to leave. And she said, no, we're going to stand and fight this. And she went to the town board meeting and announced it and called it out. And the death threat stopped. So she's unafraid.
Well, Kate McCardle, before we kind of talk a little bit more about the future of this site, the Genesee Land Trust's role, what's going to be coming on these 18 acres, I just want to ask you about your view in town government about spaces like this. Because as we said, as Irene has said, not every plot of land is going to be natural space. Not every plot of land should be a housing development. Not every plot of land should be commercial development. And that's a balance for towns to strike. Right. So, you know, inevitably you're going to run into some disagreement when it comes to politics, when it comes to mm-hmm. what should go where. Mm-hmm. What's your view on this space and then spaces mm-hmm. like this, and then how you decide kind of block by block, space right. by space, what you'd prefer to see?
Right. Well, as you know, that's a complicated question, but certainly, and I'm not a planner, I'll put that right out here. But ultimately, it's the town's job to figure out a plan for open space, for development, commercial development, real estate. And we're lucky in Penfield, New York. I mean, we have, I will say this, regardless of political affiliation, we're really lucky to have a committee and have a group of citizens that have worked really hard on our open space plans and creating our master plan for the town of Penfield. So just in our own personal experience, it's using those plans and being smart about that development and having a balance of this open space, and that there can be a lot of different variations of that. So recreational space, where you're using it, like Rothfuss Park, with a lot of folks going to, and we have a lot of those planned parks in Penfield. But where we get away from that is when we don't follow those plans, and where unfortunately sometimes communities let that get away with them. It's not, we don't want to complain about the fact that we have an interest in people moving to Penfield. You might have seen the DNC article last week. Penfield was one of the three top communities that saw population growth. So we see a 3.4% population growth. And that's because it's a terrific community and there's open space there. But if that gets away from you, which it has in other communities around here, we may lose that open space and that wild, and which I'm sure Gay can talk a little bit more about the natural impact of that. But ultimately, it's following that plan. And then from an activist perspective, and what Irene has reminded us of, is to make sure that those plans are being followed. So once you have that plan and you create a vision for that future, like you were talking about, once you have that vision, making sure that that's brought and that ultimately you need activists, you need folks that are coming up and showing up and saying that this is important. If the town doesn't hear that it's important, it's going to be lost to development.
All right, let me grab a phone call, and then we'll. I think our phone call will help set up the next part of our conversation. This is Catherine in Rochester. First up, go ahead, Catherine.
Hi, good afternoon. I work with Historic Valentown out in the Victor area, and we have nearly 13 acres. Part of it is wetland. Part of it is wild. The Victor Hiking Trail goes, part of their trail goes through our property. However, we have developers on three-quarters of our borders. And with the last incident, it's the same developer, and we're on the National Register of Historic Places, but despite that, they managed to try to put the parking lot 7.5 feet at the closest from the lot line. We did have to go to the state. The seeker form was filled out incorrectly, so a lot of things had to be done by just asking, please don't do this. So we would like to develop a green space right in the middle of the area of Eastview Mall. We have a heritage of agriculture and farming. Some people don't like it when we don't cut the grass, but we're going to stay true to what we are. And I would like to know how we would go about evaluating the property and then getting something done or working with another organization to put in, to reforest part of our hill, to make it for people to come in and see different aspects of nature and some cultivars that the farm industry used to use, and then wild plants. We have pawpaws, we have American chestnut, and we have an elm. So I think we have a good start. But I would like to know where someone would go to get some help with this kind of thing.
Catherine, thanks for the phone call. Gay Mills from the Genesee Land Trust may be at least able to help guide that idea. Go ahead, Gay.
It sounds like you have a wonderful start from the land you have there, and I love the idea of a little bit of wildness next in the middle of Eastview Mall area. As far as how to go ahead and find resources for that, that's always a big challenge for ambitious projects like this. So I'm trying to think of...
It wouldn't be you, right? It wouldn't be Genesee Lantros in this case.
Well, we might be... Not necessarily. I mean, we're always open to thinking about partnerships, but we don't have the resources to take on that project as a to-do, but we'd be interested in learning more about it.
Okay. And, you know, just Kate, one of the things that you had just mentioned was the importance of being willing to kind of speak out, get involved. Any insight that you would share to someone like Catherine there?
Catherine, sharing with everybody and anyone that will listen to you what is going on. Because if you share in the Victor community, there are plenty of people in that area that are looking to preserve land as well. So connecting with people, reaching out. And then also just doing some basic research. I mean, we're lucky that on the internet you can certainly find some terrific organizations, not just the Genesee Land Trust, but also other funders that we have that could possibly support you, whether it be a private funder to purchase the land. But also with the governor's budget this year, we have an increased amount of money for open space in the EPF fund. So there is increased money in the state budget for certain purchases of land. So starting there, reaching out to the Irene L. Gossin Preserve page. There's a lot of activists in Penfield that I'm certain that would share their knowledge and their experience with you as well.
Audrey writes to us on Twitter, I was a kid in the 70s and my mom told me about Irene. She said Irene Gossin is the best person for protecting our local environment. Thanks, Audrey. And Irene Gossin's name is on the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve, which we've been talking about. Minnie McLaren, what's the timeline? What happens next there? As the founder of this preserve, it's 18 acres. You've been cleaning it up, but what's the timeline now?
Well, we have a preliminary design. That may need to be tweaked a little bit, but I'm hoping by the end of the summer to start in on some of the plantings. And then by 2018, the plan is to turn it over to the Genesee Land Trust, and that's when it will be open for people to visit because it will be under the care of the Land Trust.
All right, so for now, if you see that space, you're driving by and you say, that's the space they're talking about, you probably shouldn't just stop and start walking on it?
Well, if you get hurt, you know, unfortunately, I mean, hopefully that would not happen, but...
it's not open to the public, technically.
It's not open to the public, no.
Okay, but so you'll hand it over to the Land Trust at the end of next year, so maybe about 18 months from now.
Right.
And what will, ideally, what does it look like at that time?
There's going to be just a simple walking trail. We're going to have areas that tie in Irene and what she did to the larger environment. So when Irene was campaigning, she gave out about 15,000 conifer tree seedlings. And so we're going to have an area of spruce trees, which is one of the seedlings that she gave out. And so to say this is the story of Irene and the seedlings, and this is also what trees and conifer trees do for the environment. And then, you know, maybe have another couple spots around that tie Irene into that environment there. And then that's it. I mean, it's really going to be very simple. There may be a connecting nature center. That's going to be probably much further down the line, but that's a hope.
And so a few trails to hike, walk, you know, but otherwise, you know, largely still unadorned. Are you still looking for people to help clean it up? Is there any more volunteer work that you are looking for?
Yes.
In a word.
I don't, there will be for a long time.
Yes.
And so one way to keep track of that is to follow us on Facebook at the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve page.
Okay, and the Genesee Land Trust is, again, an organization that our listeners hear about, but what's the overall mission, first of all, Kay?
So our mission is to preserve and protect local lands and waters in the greater Rochester area. So we work in Monroe County and Wayne County and portions of adjacent counties. And we preserve those lands for wildlife habitat to protect local foods and food and farms, and to connect to nature. So this project is one that fits into a couple of those goals or those priorities. We have about 5,000 acres of land that we've protected in one way or another for public benefit. Some of them are open to the public. We have 14 nature preserves that are open to the public across the region. And we have worked with towns, municipalities, private conservation organizations, and individual landowners to achieve their and our mission of protecting open spaces. So we're trying to work to partner with other organizations that are in line with this mission.
And when you take over this particular preserve mm-hmm. in early 2018, what will be sort of the role? I guess the role is to kind of be as hands-off as much as you can. Are there volunteers who help clean? I mean, what's sort of the role at that point?
Oh, we rely on volunteers substantially. It's a great part of our community. We have for caring for the lands that we take care of, for sharing information, for having guided walks. It's almost all volunteer-driven. We're quite a small organization, and we just try to engage people on the land and to enjoy it. And I think Mindy was saying earlier how Rothfuss Park is right across the street, so why do you need something else? But it's just, you need them both. They're both, each has a unique offering for people to enjoy. One okay. might be running around kicking mm-hmm. a soccer ball, and one is just walking along and as Kate's children were playing with the flowers.
So how many volunteers do you have in the organization now?
I think we have about 250, 300 people who
You're looking
volunteer
for more?
Always.
Okay. All right. So if people would like to volunteer, how do they do that?
Sure. They can do that through contacting us either at our office by calling us up at 256-2130 or going on the website and expressing an interest. There's any ways that they can do that.
Let me get back to the phones. A couple of lines have been waiting to weigh in. This is Jeff in Penfield. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that the fight to save land, as Irene started it in the 1960s and 70s, hasn't ended. I'm part of the next generation of activists in land conservation, and we're working on saving Shadow Pines from development. I'm working with Mindy and with Kate on this project, and we're hoping that the town will purchase Shadow Pines and save it as open space. It's probably the most important piece of land that's become available since Irene was around, and perhaps Mindy and Kate can speak on that.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for the phone call. I'll start with you, Kate. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a very important. Thanks, Jeff, for your call. It's a very important issue right now in Penfield, and the town is actually charged a group of 20 local activists and members of the community, neighbors to Shadow Pines, to come up with a plan for this 214 acres that is really in the heart of Penfield. So it's an enormous piece of land, and one that Irene was involved with. It was actually her idea to create golf courses in that area. So to bring it back to Irene, this what started with her, and now there has been five or six supervisors since that always kind of assumed that this land would be a golf course. So kind of hitting my point before, which is that we need to protect this land and make sure that it's protected. This is very timely now, and we are in a position where we can be very creative and be thinking forward about what we want in this community and what it will look like years from now and for our children. Or we can do what a lot of other communities have done, which is to decide to do the easy development. Let's develop it. And this moratorium committee in Penfield has an enormous task at hand to come up with the economic benefits, the environmental benefits, to weigh and to look at all of those options. And we, as the Saving Shadow Pines, but also working on this preserve, we are certainly there to support them in that task and hopefully preserve this land.
All right, so if I'm being a fair moderator of this mm-hmm. discussion, mm-hmm. I will just point out that, you know, when I heard about the Irene Algasa Nature mm-hmm. Preserve, which Laura on Twitter says, what what land are we talking about again? It's 18 acres.
It's 18 acres.
It's a five-mile line road. It's just north of where?
It's five-mile line just north of Atlantic.
Okay.
It's 1651 five-mile line road.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. And that was the genesis of this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The question on Shadow Pines is certainly a relevant one and related. I mean, it's much bigger space, but it's related on... Do you develop or not? You know, if so, what do you do with it?
Right.
Do you leave it as natural space? So, Jeff, I certainly understand the phone call. Mm-hmm. I think going forward, it would behoove me and our listeners to try to bring in more folks from the town. We happen to have Democrats in Penfield today for a couple of reasons. First of all, they've been involved with the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve. Mm-hmm. Irene is a Democrat. Not like she didn't work with Republicans. Had a lot of friends who are Republicans. Mm-hmm. Still does. But I don't know what Tony LaFountain. I don't know what the Republicans in town say, and I want to make sure they've got time to kind of come in. So maybe on a future program, we'll come back talk more broadly about it. But I will ask you, Kate. Do you feel like the dialogue has been productive? Has it been constructive?
Well,
so far?
Speaking on for the town, I can't, but I can say that as a resident, I've been extremely happy with them creating the moratorium in the first place. They were very proactive in doing so, and have been cautiously optimistic about this moratorium process as well. That being said, we're going to assert and put pressure on them to the committee to do what we think is the best thing for our community. So I'll say cautiously optimistic right now. One thing I would like to note, though, that when Mindy was talking about Irene and the preserve, is while it is 18 acres that you might drive by and not see, it's been such a huge impact when I've walked through there to see what kind of habitats are there. And you can imagine that because it is surrounded by all of these communities and these large developments, that's why it's even more essential. So this area is so important because it is a habitat for so many wildlife. And I don't think we've brought that into the conversation yet. So I just wanted to make a note of that.
All right, let me get back to the phones. Beth in Brighton next up. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, a longtime member of the League of Women Voters, which Irene was so much involved with the environmental issues. And I really hope that the League gets involved with Gay, because I'm also a member of the Land Trust. I think this is a community opportunity, one, to love Irene for everything she did. And I hope the League gets involved, and I know the Land Trust is being involved. So I hope this is a volunteer kind of thing that can really build something as a monument to Irene. And love her dearly. She did so much for the League. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth. Thanks for the phone call. Nice sentiments there. Go ahead, Kate.
And just one other thing I wanted to note is that we are still actively, as our Penfield Democratic Committee, but also residents in Penfield, we are still actively working with the town to try to get something named after her. That has something that it hasn't happened yet. But I know that Tony LaFountain, our supervisor, did reach out to the county because much of the land that was protected specifically up by Irondequoit Bay is county owned and county wetlands. So he did reach out to our new supervisor to Cheryl DiNoffo,
the new county executive.
But it was right when she had been elected. So I'm sure we will continue to try to reach out to her to have land via the county named after Irene as well. So it doesn't stop here.
How Mindy McLaren, how is this the first, by the way, that's going to have Irene's name? Isn't that amazing to you, 50 years on, that there wasn't her name on something?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are a couple of places around town that are named for other people that Irene actually was the one who had a hand in protecting the area, attended ribbon cuttings for parks that are now named for other people. So without getting too into that, I don't know why that's happened. It's a real shame. But I think that this preserve is like the cherry on top of the sundae. I mean, it's beautiful, and it's totally for her. and she's so deserving.
Listeners, if you want to see more of her story, Steve Orr wrote a nice piece recently, yes, and in the Democrat and Chronicle. It is very easy to find if you Google. Just Google Irene Gossin, G-O-S-S-I-N, and then Democrat and Chronicle. You'll find the piece, and you'll get some of the history that, again, it's the kind of person that you will read that story and say, how in the world do I not know who Irene Gossin was? I mean, that's how what I was left with after reading that. I'm also seeing via our email inbox, there is a lot of interest in Shadow Pines, and there's a lot of interest in the golf course and what happens next there. So I'll just read one more comment that I think it's obviously related to Shadow Pines, but it is sort of a corollary to what we've been discussing, and it comes from Donna. Donna writes, it's wonderful and quite remarkable that a private citizen, Mindy McLaren, has chosen to preserve land in Penfield as open space. And Donna, of course, is referring to the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve. Then she goes on to say, right now, the town of Penfield, Shadow Pines Golf Course is for sale. It's being marketed to housing developers. She says it's being marketed to housing developers. Kate, is that framing correct right now?
It's accurate,
Okay. And she says, the town's master plan describes the parcel as recreation/preserve, but the zoning, residential, does not match. There is a temporary moratorium on development we were just talking about, but Donna says it's anticipated that housing developers will just wait that moratorium out. So she says, how do your guests feel about municipalities buying open space like this, especially if its use is changed to something accessible to the entire community, parkland, versus changing it to residential?
Yeah, and this is certainly something that will come up in the discussion because Penfield has a history of purchasing open land and open space. So we did force a referendum, I think it was in 2002, before my time, but to purchase land just like that. So ultimately, the goal and ideally just on our from our committee is that the town would purchase this. And they are in a position where they could do that. Again, they're weighing their options, and we hope that that will ultimately, on our end, that's what we would like to see. So it is possible. Again, there's a cost to the taxpayers, you know, if they were to purchase that open space. But I think when you look at the numbers, you recognize that long term, the cost of not purchasing the open space is going to be much more. So when you talk about infrastructure, environmental health costs, you have to weigh all of those things into the equation. And while initially the cost of purchasing that land may be expensive, long term, the cost of developing that land or other uses may be more to residents.
Mindy McLaren, as we get ready to wrap up here, I want you to just tell us a little bit about your view of this as a Penfield resident. You know, Kate mentioned that Penfield is one of three local communities that is really growing and you know, at a pretty brisk pace. You don't have to be convinced to move there. You live there.
Right.
What is it that is going to keep families like yours? You've got kids. They're growing up there. You live there. What is it that is going to keep people like you in communities like that? I mean, obviously, you have a desire to see as much open space as possible. But what's the kind of combination that would make you never consider moving?
Well, I think I don't plan really to move from Penfield. I like Penfield. I mean, it does have its rural eastern side. It is, you know, it has great amenities and it's close to everything. But I think that, you know, my bigger picture is that when we are aware of our environment, when we're aware of why a place is the way it is, who made it that way, like Irene, like, you know, founding families in Penfield, it changes the way we see our surroundings. It changes the way we interact. It changes the way we feel about a place. It makes us feel more responsible for our surroundings, more engaged. I mean, I can drive around now and say to my kids, hey, there's Thousand Acre Swamp. Do you know who had a hand in that? And now they're saying Irene Gossin. You know, all these things that it only enriches their experience and their lives to know why Penfield is the way it is. So I think that that gives us, you know, some skin in the game to make the place that you live the best it can be. And
Well, and I hope that, since I only have a short amount of time, I hope I get a one-word answer for this.
Okay.
I hope it's a no. Irene Gossin, 50 years ago, when she was doing essentially what you're doing,
yeah,
she got death threats eventually. Has anybody complained to you? Said, what are you
no.
doing? Okay. So there's one example how things have changed.
No, since people have been absolutely wonderful.
It's the Irene L. Gossin Nature Preserve. You can find its Facebook page. And sometime, not so long from now, it will be open to the public. Not open to the public yet. They're still working on the space, making sure it's cleaned up, and they're going to put trails there. More little nods to Irene Gossin, who is 97 years old and shared her thoughts with us earlier this hour. Our thanks to Mindy McLaren, who is the founder of that preserve. Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Kate McArdle, thank you for sharing your insight as well. Great to see you.
Thank you.
And Gay Mills from the Genesee Land Trust, thank you so much as
well. Thank you.
All right, short break. More Connections next.